Not only were they much altered from their original genetic stock, they were a threat to identity, a challenge to the individualism even of those they were never likely to impersonate. It had nothing to do with souls or physical or spiritual possession. It was, as the adherents well understood, the behavioristic copying of another which revolted. Individuality, the thing which most humans held more precious than anything else about themselves, was somehow cheapened by the ease with which a changer could ignore it as a limitation and use it as a disguise. He had changed into an old man, and that legacy still lay with him. Zalin was getting very close. The youth lunged, using his huge arms like pincers and making an ungainly grab for Horza. Horza ducked and jumped to one side, faster than Zalin had anticipated. Before he could follow Horza round, the changer had landed a kick on the youth's shoulder, which had been aimed at his head. Zalin swore. So did Horza. He'd hurt his foot. Rubbing his shoulder, the youth came forward again, almost casually at first, then suddenly swinging one long arm out, hand-fisted and very nearly catching Horza's face. The changer felt the wind of the scything swing on his cheek. If the blow had landed, it would have finished the fight. Horza dummied one way, then leapt in the other direction, pivoting on one heel and lashing out again with a foot aimed between the youth's legs. It landed, but Zalin just smiled painfully and grabbed at Horza again. The spray must have deadened all feeling. Horza circled the youth. Zalin was staring at him with a look of intense concentration on his face. His arms were still bowed out in front of him like pincers, and at their ends, his fingers flexed every now and again, as though desperate for the feel of Horza's throat. Horza was hardly aware of the people standing around him or the lights and fittings of the hangar. All he could see was the crouched, ready young man in front of him, with his massive arms and silvery hair, his frayed t-shirt and light shoes. The shoes squeaked on the metal deck as Zalin lunged again. Horza spun and flicked out with his right foot. It caught Zalin across his right ear, and the youth pranced away, rubbing his ear. Horza knew he was breathing hard again. He was using up too much energy, just staying at maximum tension, ready for the next attack. And in the meantime, he just wasn't hurting Zalin enough. At this rate, the youth would soon wear him down, even without coming at him. Zalin spread his arms again and advanced. Horza skipped to one side, his old muscles complaining. Zalin swiveled. Horza leapt forward, pivoting again on one foot and swinging the other heel at the youth's midriff. It connected with a satisfying thump, and Horza started to jump away, then realized his foot was caught. Zalin was holding it. Horza fell to the deck. Zalin was swaying, one hand down at the base of his ribcage. He was gasping, almost doubled up and staggering. Horza suspected he'd cracked a rib, but he held Horza's foot with the other hand. Twist and pull as he might, Horza couldn't loosen the grip. He tried a sweat pulse in his lower right leg. He hadn't done that since single combat exercise in the academy in Habor. But it was worth a try. Anything was, if it had a chance of loosening that grip. It didn't work. Perhaps he had forgotten how to do it properly, or perhaps his artificially aged sweat glands were incapable of reacting that fast. But either way, he was still trapped in the youth's grip. Zalin was recovering now from the blow Horza had landed. He shook his head, the hangar lights reflecting on his hair. Then he took hold of Horza's foot with his other hand. Horza was walking on his hands round the youth, one leg gripped, the other hanging down, trying to take some weight on the deck. Zalin stared at the changer and whipped his hands round as though trying to twist Horza's foot right off. Horza read the motion and was throwing his whole body round even as Zalin started the manoeuvre. He ended up back where he'd started, his foot held in Zalin's hands and his own palms crabbing across the deck as he tried to follow the movements of the youth. I could go for his legs, sweep in and bite, Horza thought, desperately trying to think of something. The instant he starts to slow down, I'd have a chance. They wouldn't notice. All I need is... Then, of course, he remembered again. They had taken those teeth out. Those old bastards and Balveda were going to kill him after all, in Balveda's case from beyond the grave. As long as Zalin had his foot like this, the fight was only going to go one way. What the hell? I'll bite him anyway. He surprised himself with the thought. It was conceived and acted upon before he had time really to consider it. The next thing he knew, he had pulled on the leg which Zalin held and pushed as hard as he could with his hands, flinging himself between the youth's legs. He fastened his remaining teeth into the boy's right calf. Ah! Zalin screamed. Hawser bit harder, feeling the grip round his foot slacken slightly. He jerked his head up, trying to tear the youth's flesh. He felt as though his kneecap was going to explode and his leg would break, but he worried the mouthful of living flesh and punched up towards Zalin's body with all his might. Zalin let go.